Well, I want to start by saying that I feel like me and Amelia are a bit like twins, really.
Yeah.
Because you started off with Psalm 34, and that's what I'm talking on today. And also, it's quite similar to Psalm 91, which is what you spoke to about a few weeks ago. So I feel like we're doing a bit of a double act, really. I don't know why I'm nervous, because, as I've said, David refused to comment this morning on this. I did a testimonial during a Lent series a few years ago now, and I feel that one of the gifts that God gave me was a voice, which I needed for the job when I was a midwife and dealing with the customers on the jobs I do now. And I don't generally have problems, as my son will testify, being having opinions on things. And basically, this is, or even voicing them, and David didn't comment on that, so I think he's picked on that as well. And I think, you know, basically, this is my opinion on what I got from Psalm 34, which is what Amelia spoke about earlier. So back in June, when David asked about if anybody would be willing to talk on Summer in the Psalms, I volunteered, and as is my wont. At that point, it just felt like a long time away, and I thought, oh, another to be fine. And little did I realise how I would find how difficult it would be to turn pages and pages. I mean, I must have got through, you know, tons of pages of notes into something that you might be interested in listening to today. And as I said to David on Wednesday, I certainly have big respect for him who has to do this every week and makes it look easy. So, you know, he doesn't seem to have this issue, but maybe he does. Maybe he just hides it better. When I started looking at it, I thought, well, many of us, maybe not, have sort of solace in listening to depressing music following the breakdowns of relationships. You get drawn to, you know, listening to someone, you know, the songs that are actually saying what you want to say about how bad life is and how you lay on the floor and you cry and all this type of thing. And you think, and I can see you thinking, well, what's that got to do with the Psalms? Well, when I read through them all, and I did read through them all, and it took a bit of dedication to do that because I realised I only actually knew Psalm 23, and to decide on the one I wanted to talk about, it was Psalm 34. And well, Psalms 34 and 91, which I said that Amelia spoke about a few weeks ago, that's got a lot of similarities in theme. And it's not a coincidence, I don't think, about why I chose these psalms at the time, because it was reflecting on how I was feeling. Some of you know that my dad unexpectedly died in June. And although over recent years I didn't see him, they live in Swindon, which is about 2.5 hour journey away, so not miles, but it's long enough. And although I didn't speak to him or see him that often, I always knew that he was actually there for me. And his death didn't only shake my foundations, because he's like, you know, the cornerstone in my life as my dad, but it's left me feeling vulnerable and insecure about the present and the future. And I'm sure most of you see every time you turn on the news, there's always something to be worried about, you know, hiking fuel prices, if it's the drought, it's, you know, there's always something that's, the news comes on, it's always bad news at the beginning. Those of you who have listened to others speaking on the Psalms over this month have noticed that the Book of Psalms is actually located in the middle of the Bible, and which could be deemed as the heart of the Bible. And Phil Moore, who wrote this book that Ron kindly lent me, Straight to the Heart of the Psalms, 60 Bite-Sized Insights, which is worth a read. I'll give it back to Ron, and then he can lend it on to whoever else wants to do it, says that Psalm 34 is a summary of all that could be said about God's help in the face of oppression and hurt, with God entering the troubled situation and providing care in the middle of it. To add some context, as you before I speak, read Psalm 34 to you, it is a psalm in which David chooses to praise God for his deliverance from a life-threatening situation. Now, David, people read, you know, what's leading up to this psalm. He basically chose to go his own way instead of listening to God, and then God had to deliver him. And it's basically he had to escape from death by pretending that he was mad, and the king, sort of, rather than deal with him, just sort of kicked him out, and that saved him being killed. And this psalm invites us to acknowledge and rejoice, like David did, the goodness of God at all times, regardless of our circumstances. And as David and Amelia have said this morning, it's a reminder that God is ever-present shelter for us in the inevitable storms of life. So I'll read Psalm 34 to you now, and you can see what it says. I'm reading from the NIV version, and it's the Life Application Study Bible. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. It's music to go along to. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. As it says quite early on, and as we've spoken many times, as a Christian, we're not promised a trouble-free life. And it says that in this psalm. The righteous may have many troubles. So I think if people think that if they become a Christian, then they're going to have any trouble, they're a bit deluded. So, you know, we are going to face them. However, we are reminded that we're never alone, and that God walks alongside us throughout all the differing seasons of our lives, all the ups and downs. He hears and acts on our behalf of those like me and you, promising to help the persecuted, to be with us during periods of pain, grief, loss, sorrow, disappointment, whatever we're facing, and providing strength, courage, and wisdom to help us through the problematic times of our lives. So why is this psalm meaningful to me? I did allude to it at the beginning. I remember as a child, and I guess a lot of children do, that my dad would always be there to protect me, and he could make everything right. And in fact, it took quite a long time, even as a young adult, to realise that my dad didn't have the answer to everything, and he was making it up as he was going along. Probably Elfie thinks the same about his dad now. In this psalm, we see that God is our everlasting Father, and at a time when I especially needed to feel protected and looked after, I took comfort from the words of verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." And it was a statement echoed in Psalm 91, which I said Amelia spoke on. He is my refuge and my fortress. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield. And just to prove I was listening when Don spoke last week, in times of trouble, praising God is not, I agree with Tom, it's not the list, Don, it's not the top of our list of our priorities. And in fact, if you're like me, it might be quite the reverse. It's quite easy to praise God and everything's wonderful when things are going well, but when things are not going so well, then I tend to draw upon my own devices. But this psalm says that although we may shut God out, he remains with us. So he remains faithful to us, even though we sometimes don't remain faithful to him. And verse 17 says it precisely, that we actively need to engage with him. So he's with us all times, but he will only work with us if we work with him as well. It's a two-way relationship. The righteous call out and the Lord hears them. And in simplistic terms, what I'm saying is that the Lord remains with us at all times, even when we stray. So the message, I think, as I've said, this is what the message is saying. But interestingly, this psalm uses some specific literary devices to get the message across. And when I was talking to David in the week, as part of jobs that I've done, we're asked to fill out questionnaires or surveys. And you may find that as you're going through these long surveys, they ask you the same question, but in a different format to try and get them, you know, the right answer. So it might say, you know, are you enjoying your job? And then they may say, is there anything about your job which could make you enjoy it more? Or some, you know, something like that. So, and interestingly, the devices used in this psalm, it uses repetition to get the message across. The repetition that God wants us to engage with him, that God is calling out to us to engage with him. And on three occasions, it refers to him hearing us when we talk. I sought the Lord and he answered me. The poor man called and the Lord heard him. And as I've said in verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears him. So he's basically saying that if we call out to him, he will hear us. He's waiting for us to call out to him. Jesus is also highlighted in this psalm as being our saviour on numerous occasions, who can meet all of our needs and deliver us from all of our fears. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Those who fear him lack nothing, and those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And finally, what I picked up from this, how this psalm is written, is this credibility of the message. So if we can read this and then we think, well, okay, he's given us this message, but how do we know it's genuine? How do we know it's true? And one of the literary things it says to do that is through references in the psalm to other passages in the Bible, which the readers will be familiar with. Taste and see that the Lord is good, it says in this psalm. And that's reference to Jesus being the bread of life, satisfying our deepest needs. And also, we're doing communion today, and it says, he protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. And that's with reference to the crucifixion. So this psalm is referring to other parts of the Bible as well. So having spent a great deal of time pondering over why this psalm was written, its message and how it was conveyed, I was left with the question of what now? What do we do now? What do I do now? And as I've said, personally, I have no problem spending time with God when times are good, and I tend to withdraw in times of trouble. So I'm finishing this little talk by asking you the question, what do we do with this information, and will our patterns of behaviour change following it? Ultimately, we've got two choices. We can choose to partially trust the Lord and engage with God, depending upon our circumstances, and go it alone, relying on our own strengths when we inevitably encounter rocky periods of our life, which is, I'm sure, if you're anything like me, that's what I do at the moment. Or we can choose to fully engage with God, trusting in his promise as our Father to be with us always and protect and strengthen us to face anything. And I'd like to just finish on a, when I was typing this out late on Friday night, because I do tend to leave everything to the last minute. I want to finish with something that popped up on one of my social media sites, which David doesn't know, and he's probably thinking, oh my God, what's she going to say now? But it was from Evelation Church, which is a church in America, which is definitely worth having. They do some quite good affirmations on a daily basis. And this one that popped up says, it is your proximity to Jesus' presence that becomes your provision for the challenges you face. So it's your proximity to Jesus' presence that becomes your provision to the challenges you face. And they translate this as meaning, the closer you stay to Jesus, the more comfort, hope, and peace you will have, no matter what comes your way. Amen. Amen.